Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, what I want you to do is to prepare your hearts to receive the word of the Lord that is coming forth to you today. I believe it's the word that God has for his people in a form of a question. There's seven questions that Jesus asked in his ministry. There's seven questions. But there's a question that needs to be asked that only you can answer. So I want you to put your hands together for your pastor, Pastor Inez, as she comes forth to bring the word for today's service. Amen. Come on, my beautiful baby.
Good morning. How are y'all? Good to see y'all. I think a lot of people are still at Fiesta. Not me. Nuh-uh, I know where I need to be. We need to be here. We need to be reminded and refreshed because God does always show up here at the House of Manna, especially with Rhema words, and those are what we need. Amen? We don't need a planned sermon because when they're planned like that, a lot of times the people leave empty and not filled, renewed. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit that works through us, that talks to us and tells us what we need to preach about. And then he sends the people. So I guess the people that aren't here didn't really need to hear it. So praise God that y'all are here because God has something special for you. Amen. That's the way I look at it. When I go to a church and the Lord ministers to me and talks to me about my situation, I'm blessed. I leave blessed. And I leave believing that that's truly the word of the Lord and what I need it to hear. And it's going to help me through whatever I'm going through. Amen. So I was, when the Lord was prophetically declaring the declaration, the prophecy that was going out, I was getting a lot of confirmation as for what he was having me talk to y'all about today. And then I thought, well, I don't need to go up there. They already heard everything. You know, we always want to weasel out, right? We don't want to do it. We don't want to be up here. Anyway, so I got a lot of confirmation and it blessed me and it made me feel like I did hear from God. And to me, that's a blessing when I get confirmation and I know I'm hearing from the Lord because we get, or I don't know about y'all, but I do. I get fearful. And concern if I'm delivering the correct message and, or if I missed it. Amen. Am I the only one like that? No. But anyway, okay, so we can pray. Father God, we just come before your presence with thanksgiving. We thank you for the praise and worship that has gone forth. We thank you for the prophetic word that has gone forth, Heavenly Father. And I believe and I receive what you spoke to us already, God. And I just ask that you prepare the hearts and the minds, the spirit and souls here, God. Open up their ear gates. Remove the lies of the enemy. Remove the enemy lying to them and closing up their ears and blinding their eyes, Heavenly Father. Just open up their spiritual eye gates, ear gates to hear what you have for them today, Lord God. It isn't Inez Perez. It is truly you. And I give you all the glory, not me, God. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is kind of different, the table here. But it's okay. It doesn't matter, right? It works. But what it is that it's not as high, so I'm going to have to bring my book up here. But I did receive my healing. You know, when he was saying, yeah, heal my eyes. Okay, so anyway, well, the funny thing is before when Pastor Marty was talking, he said, God has questions. And that's how it's starting off. That's how I'm going to start off. I have a question. And my question to you is, who is your God? My second question is, what is it keeping you from crossing over? Those are two questions. And the main one is, who's your God? Pastor Marty preached last week about crossing over, and it was a very good message. Several people came up because they don't want to be where they're at anymore. They want to cross over, and they asked for prayer. But then there was a lot of people that just sat in their seats, and I was even one of them. And so throughout the week, I was asking, what is it in me that I don't feel like it? That's not of God. He always wants us to move forward. He doesn't want us to be stagnant. The Word of God says He takes you from glory to glory. And it's our decision whether or not, if we do want to go to different higher levels, glory to glory. Amen? It's up to y'all. So what is it in your life that is your God? Okay? I don't want anyone, you know, going like that, like, oh, that's you. Today, I just want you guys to self-examine yourself. You ask yourself, what is it that's keeping you from crossing over or desiring to move ahead or move forward? What is it? What is it in your life? Well, I ask God, what can I tell the people? So this is some of the stuff that I came up with. And I can vouch for a lot of these, okay? Fear, loss of hope, tired, doubt. Seems like nothing goes right. Comfort zone, the fear of the unknown. Quit. You don't want to do anymore. I just want to quit. Not your will. I think that's a big one. Fear and not your will, I think, are two major ones. Lack of knowledge. Finances. Laziness. Procrastination. Wow. I can't. Unhealthy relationships. Maybe soul ties. Past soul ties. Present soul ties. Ask yourself. Everybody just close your eyes. Close your eyes. Don't look at me. And you ask God, what is the God in my life that I have in me that I put before you, I put before your word, what your word says? What is it? And the first thing that comes to you, then that's probably what it is. But I have good news. Okay, y'all can open your eyes because I think you already got it. I have good news for you. The Bible has a word in there, a scripture in there, for whatever it is, for whatever it is. And you lock into that scripture, write it down, put it everywhere in your house, even in your car, whatever. Put it on your cell phone, because cell phone, you know what? I should have put that in there. Social media, cell phones. That should have probably been the first one, because the people have a very bad problem with their phones. Do you know that they say that, like, when you have, you're used to putting your phone in the back pocket, that you feel a sensation like it's vibrating, so you automatically just get it out and look, and it isn't even doing that. But you're so used to it that it's just like a habit, and I think it's just taking over the whole world the way we are on our phones. Marty and I were watching on TV the other night. I think it's called Dateline, right? I don't know, something like that. But anyway, you know, there was a girl, she got off of work, or she went to Ross. Okay, so she was working at Ross. She got off of work, and she goes into the parking lot, into her car, to leave. But then she like puts down her windows and she decides, oh, let me check out my phone. I've been working, whatever. Let me just check out my phone. Do you know that somebody went up to her car, put a gun up to her, made her move over, got into her car and kidnapped her? Just like that. And took her away to another state. And he was going to kill her. He had already killed another woman. But that's how busy we are. You know, you walk around with your phone and you're just like this. You don't even know your surroundings. Just like that lady got kidnapped. This is true. This is true. So y'all be mindful of how you don't pay attention. People are falling because they're just walking, looking at their phone. They're not even watching their footsteps. We got to be careful. Anyway, so that I kind of went off track, but it is a big problem. And, you know, that kind of concerned me. That worried me, you know, and I immediately just wanted to tell my kids, be mindful. Pay attention to your surroundings. Don't be so cooped up on your phone because someone can just kidnap you just like that. So anyway, amen. Okay, so did y'all think about who your God is? Okay. So being, I could relate to a lot of these. And, you know, as I'm talking to y'all and as I was preparing this message, it was ministering to me because I can vouch for a lot of these, especially the way this year has been with us. I have become doubtful. You know, I have become, you know, like this crossing over and going, leaving here and going to another church building, another area, another night, not even Sunday, it's Saturday. I thought, oh, how is this going to be? That's weird. We're going to go to church on Saturday? So I fought it. So I did write in there my will, not the Lord's will. So you know what? I fought it, and we didn't come in agreement. And so we just forgot about it. We didn't do it because I thought, oh, we're not going to have a playground. We're not going to have an office. We got to go to, there's not a good time to go. And I was just worried about the people. I was worried about the children, you know, that they weren't going to have a playground, that things were just going to change. I was worried about the people that can't come on Saturdays because they can't see at night. Or for whatever reason, whatever their reasoning is, okay? I was concerned with that. And it affected me. I felt like if I didn't know what I was doing, I felt like if I was on the just out of the total will of God and Inez's will. It was all about Inez. And we can't do that. It isn't about yourself. It isn't about Inez Perez. It's about the people. So things keep getting worse. You know, y'all don't know a lot that goes on here in this building with us being in here. And, you know, when you're crying out to God, your will, your will, your will, but then he says, okay, go here, have it this time, have it this day. And you're like, nope, I don't want to do that. I don't think that's your will. So I fought it. But guess what happens when we fight it? Things get worse. They get worse. To the point that it's going to get so bad that he has to kick you out. He has to redirect you. He has to start letting things happen that's going to get your attention. That's going to make you say, oh, okay, your will, not mine. So then the opportunity comes up again. Okay, well, all I have is Saturday. I told Pastor Marty, no. That's going to be a problem. But that was Inez's problem. That wasn't God's problem. It was because I wasn't trusting God. And I think that's a big issue with a lot of us. We don't trust God. But in the Bible, when he tells the people to go, and he's very detailed. I want you to go. I want you to take this. I want you to go over here. And I don't want you to take that. And I don't want you to take those people and take these people. He's very detailed. And then what does he do? The person may fight it at first, think the Lord's crazy, right? Like I am. But then he provides. He provides everything. I'm concerned about the kids. I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned about that. And then when I get there, what's going to happen? He's going to provide for everything, and then I'm going to have to repent. So, being disobedient like that and not trusting in God, because that's disobedience, everything is delayed. And because I was afraid, and because it wasn't my will, things get delayed. How do I know that there aren't people over there in that area waiting for something like this? Saturday, the Lord said, yeah, not everybody wants Saturdays, but I want Saturdays for y'all. Because Saturday people, they're looking for something different. And the house of manna is different. The last time I came up here, I told you, I don't care what people say about the house of manna. I know what the house of manna is about. There was 7 people, and I don't know if you remember, 7 people, part of house of manna, they got healed from cancer. Not from Marty and Inez. It's just the angel of the house on here that saw fit to heal those people. I've seen families reunited, restored, people getting saved, people getting baptized. It's all God. But guess what Inez was doing? Inez was trying to not do that. And here I'm crying to God saying, I feel kind of bored. I want manifestation. I don't want the same church service. I want to see miraculous miracles. But guess what? You need some hungry people. You need some people to come in agreement with you that are feeling the same way you are. And what if that's over there? And I'm over here crying because I don't want to do it. Shame on me, right? And I'll repent to y'all. I'll tell y'all that I'm sorry, you know, that I fought it. Because maybe you guys are missing something too. I don't know. We'll find out, right? Because Inez decided to listen to her husband. He's the high priest, right? He's the one who's supposed to make the decisions when it comes to the God decisions, right? So that was being out of order. So he didn't bother me. He just said, you know what he does? He just says, Lord, you deal with her. And I'm thankful, you know, that he did. And I came up, you know, I was laying in bed and I was like, I don't know. I don't even know what to talk about Sunday. And I heard Deuteronomy 41:10. And I'm going to read it to you. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified because of them, for the land your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And that did give me peace. And I said, oh my God. And I looked up and one of my son Joseph, bought me this beautiful cross. And it sits on my dresser. And when I heard that scripture, immediately I looked at that cross And I said, I can't. I can't be strong right now. I can't be courageous right now. Even though you're telling me you're with me, I feel like I can't. And then what does he say when you can't? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And I'm like, nah. I don't want to hear your word. Because that's not where I'm at right now. Is that what a lot of us say to ourselves? No, I don't care. I don't care what you say. But it's very important. And Ms. Shoemaker, I want to thank you and applaud you because a couple of weeks ago you got up and I thank you for your obedience because you said very stern, Martin Perez in Spanish, you're not done. And the reason why I started crying is because I believe it really, that message wasn't for him. I felt it was for me. But the Lord spoke to him because maybe if you would have told me, maybe I wouldn't have, my mind was all messed up. I wouldn't have received it like that. But he spoke to his son. And we're one in flesh. And as what he speaks to him, he speaks to me. And I received it. And I took a deep breath. And I said, I can. Okay, so we're not done. And that made me feel like if I won the lottery. Because when the things have been going on the way they have, I just felt like, are we done? But then you were obedient and came and said that we weren't. And I appreciate that. And I thank you for your obedience. Because it made me feel like we're not done. Do what I'm telling you to do. Amen. Isaiah 41:10. So don't fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. What is dismayed? Appalled, terrified, frightened, scared, intimidated, panic. I felt all of that. Then God says, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my righteous hand. Why are we got such powerful scriptures, but why do we get in the mess that we get into? Why do we end up wanting to quit? Why do we not believe? Why do we just stop? When we got such powerful scriptures, he's telling us, I'm with you. Just listen and go. I'm going to be with you just like how I was with everyone else in the Bible. Can you imagine how they felt when they saw the big giants? Like the giants in our life? We feel defeated. We feel like we can't make it. We feel like we can't even breathe when things come our way. And we forget that God said, do not fear. Be strong and courageous. I am with you. Wherever you go, I will never forsake you. Am I afraid to go to Africa? Yes, I am. I don't want to go there. Inez Perez does not want to go there because it smells or what, or I'm just scared. Inez Perez's will says no. It isn't like that, people. It's not about our will. It's his will. What if I'm robbing myself from a blessing? Why is he telling me to go to Africa? Why is Papa over there praying? Mama's coming. Mama's coming. We pray. We pray. Mama's coming. And then I hear it and I'm like, no, she ain't. I'm fighting God's will. Shame on me. Why? Because I'm scared. I'm fearful. But didn't he say, fear not? He said, fear not. I'm not listening. I'm not paying attention. I ain't reading the scriptures correctly. Who's my God? Who's my God? Fear? Is fear my God? Is doubt my God? Who's my God? Finances? Is finances my God? Not because I have a lot. Is finance, is finances my God? Well, Lord, I can't. Well, Lord, I can't do that. Well, Lord, I can't do that. We don't have the money to go there. I don't want to ask for money. But what did he say? Let me remind you. Philippians 4:19. I shall provide for every need. So what am I tripping about? I told Pastor Mario, I don't want to go to that building. I just want to have our own. I don't understand why we don't have the finances to just have our own. Inez Perez, don't lean on your own understanding. I know the word. I know. I battle. But who is the God in my mind? Who is the God in my mind? It isn't the Heavenly Father. Fear, doubt, intimidation, worry, stress, anxiety. That's not God. That's the opposite. So I guess I got the enemy in my mind. The God of earth in my mind. Is that why he said, put the armor of salvation on you daily? And what do we do? I don't want to do that. I'm tired. You know, he even has a scripture for being tired. I'll do it tomorrow. You know, he has a scripture for procrastination. Who's your God? Who is the God in your mind? Who is he? Is it the one that wants a party all the time? Do you know he says, don't do that. Don't get so drunk because you're going to make silly decisions. Who can vouch for that? I've been there. Who can vouch for that? You make decisions that your normal mind won't make. And you get in trouble. All kinds of stuff happens because your mind isn't right. You don't have the helmet of salvation on. Especially at that time, you ain't hearing that. So who asked? I want you guys to keep asking yourself, who is your God? I know who's in my mind. And it isn't these scriptures, or it wasn't until he really dealt with me on what I was supposed to talk to you guys about. And I'm so thankful that God doesn't leave you that way. I'm so thankful that he will rise up people to intercede for you. I'm so thankful that he will fight the battles that you're not even aware of. I'm so thankful that something may happen to you to stop you at your tracks because you were going down the wrong path. Yes, he will do stuff like that because he wants you whole. He wants you to fulfill the purpose of why you were created. And all we're doing is fighting it. And then we cry. Why is my life like this? Why isn't he intervening on my behalf? Well, because it's you. He wants to, but you're just like that. You tell Jesus, talk to him. Now, that's what we do. When he sends the ministering angel upon you and he gives you that scripture for what's tormenting your mind and you set it aside, shame on you. That's why the scriptures were invented. That's why they came through the Holy Spirit. Because he knows what you're going to go through. He knows what this world is about. He knows it's a battle between him and the devil and who's going to get that soul. Who's going to win? I want to win. I'm thankful that he doesn't leave my mind messed up like that. Because I am a woman of faith. I do believe in the word of God. I do paste it all over the place. But I'm not going to lie. There is times that I don't want to look at it. I don't want to hear it because I want to feel sorry for myself. Because I want to be like everybody else. Just wah, 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 wah. And you know what? Everybody's so tired. Everyone is so tired. They're so tired that God isn't coming through for them. And we get mad at God. We get angry at God. And we don't understand where we're at. But it's because the enemy is in your head. What God is in your head? That's the question here. What God is in your head? What is keeping you from going forward and crossing over? Ask yourself that, because I've been asking myself all week. But I'm going now. And I'm trusting the Lord that he is going to bless us. And he's going to be there waiting for us. He's already assigned angels to be over there for us. He's already preparing the people on that side of town for the house of manna. That's what needs to be in my head. Not the, but what about this? But nothing. Remember that sermon that Pastor Marty preached? How big is your butt? Well, mine was humongous. I mean, in the natural, yeah, but in the spirit too, it's freaking humongous. But what if there's no one comes? But what if the people get mad because it goes to Saturday? But what if the kids don't like it that we don't have the playground? But what if this? But what if that? That's a big, you know what? But can't be in your vocabulary with God. He doesn't give you these scriptures. And after the period, there's nowhere where it says but. So you're the one who's putting the but in the scripture. You're the one that's not believing the scriptures. So I went in. And the things that came into my head, I know y'all know this, but in the Bible, every situation, every thought that's negative, that's not from God, there's a scripture in the Bible that can help you, that can renew your mind. And you know, thank God for oil. You can get your oil. You could put it all over your head, put it on your heart. Because a lot of times when your mind is bad, your heart is too. It's hardened. It's hope deferred. And we get angry. And we don't care if we move forward. What else is going to be there for me? We're so negative. Bad attitude. My husband told me, bad attitude. I felt like I was a kid. But you know what? When we're like that, we are kids. We're not mature in the gospel. And God says, stop being like a kid. Grow up. So bad attitude. We have a bad attitude. When you're thinking like this, and you don't care anymore, and you don't want to move forward, you don't want to cross over, check your attitude. It's not God. God is just trying to get you on the path, the right one. But we fight him. Can you imagine how frustrated he is? He's probably more frustrated than we are. But guess what? We stop believing in ourselves. But he doesn't. He knows who you are. And all he says is, if you just lock into me, if you just abide in me, in my word, I will move in your behalf. That's all we have to do. It sounds so simple, right? But we make it so hard. We're harder on ourselves than, you know, when you hear, like condemnation comes to you. Like, God isn't going to do anything for me because I'm just a screw up. And why should he anyway? I've been bad all my life. But guess what? He doesn't think like we do. He has that agape love. He has that unconditional love. That there's nothing in this world. The Bible says there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. No matter how angry you are, no matter if you don't understand where your life is right now, he loves you regardless. And all he wants you to do is turn around and look at him and just ask him to help you. That's all he's waiting for. He said right here. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. I will strengthen you. I will help you. But you know what? You know what we do? We don't ask God to help us. Sometimes we do. But most of the time, we ask man. We depend on man to help us. And what happens when we depend on men to help us? We get disappointed. They don't follow through. We get let down. Just like today, I called Pastor Marty. And I said, we forgot the snacks for the kids. Because we had packed up the whole office. And we took everything home. And I didn't know if he had the water and the snacks and for the kids. And so when I called him, he says, well, yeah, just, you know, bring the snacks, but we have water. And I said, okay. And so he mentioned to me that nobody was here. He said, I set up all by myself. I had to sweep. I had to mop. I had to set up everything. I was like, where's everyone? What happened? They all in Fiesta? He goes, I don't know. And I was like, wow. Remember when I was telling you when God is done and he is trying to push you out? I felt like, dang, you're really pushing us out with a bam. Today, I really feel like I'm done with that place. And our help is done, too. We get tired. It's been work being in here. And I felt bad. I mean, I'm his helpmate. And I felt bad. I mean, but we were communicating. Like, what do we need to get? What do we need? What do we need? But I just felt bad. And I just told God, I'm sorry, I repent. I just repent because over there, we don't have to do that. But it didn't matter if it was going to be easier. I just was worried. Does God want us to be worried? Didn't he say that's a sin? Well, I'm sinning all over the place. My mind. Worrying is my God in my mind. We can't be like that. And I'm being very transparent with you with this whole transition, with this whole thing being in here. It's been very hard. And I'm tired. But you know what he said to me? I said, I'm tired. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary or tired in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. How many want to quit? See? I'm not the only one. Don't quit. Cry out to God. Ask him to renew your mind. You put that oil on your mind, your ears, your eyes. And you say, God, Abba, Father, help me. Help me to not quit. I wasn't born to quit. I was born to be a blessing. I am a blessing to bless other people. That's what you tell me. I have a purpose to fulfill. Am I going to go in the grave and people talk about me saying she was a quitter? She didn't fulfill her purpose. She didn't care. She let the enemy run her mind straight to the pit. Did I do everything I was supposed to do? No, I haven't. Am I concerned about it? Yes, I am. So what is Inez Perez going to do? Not my will, your will, Lord. Inez Perez is going to repent. I'm sorry, I don't like your will, but I know it's best for me. Because it's not just about me. It's about the other people that he's assigned to be blessed from you. Are people looking at you like, why are you so broken and negative? How are you going to help me? You can't even help yourself. We can't be like that. We have to continue to believe. We can't quit because we have to believe that if we don't quit, we're going to get our reward. I want a reward. But I don't want a reward from man. I don't want kudos like, good job, Inez. No, I don't want that. I want the rewards from him. Because his rewards, there's no comparison. None whatsoever. What's another one? I got a whole list right here. Okay, let's talk about laziness. Let's talk about the times we're just like, well, I don't want to go help today. I'm too tired. I don't want to go to church today. I can call in. I don't feel like going to work today. I don't want to clean. I don't feel like doing what you're telling me to do. I just want to be lazy. I just want to be depressed. I don't want to do anything. I just want to be lazy. But what does he say? Proverbs 4:10. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Hebrews 6:12, we don't want to have to become lazy. Or no, we don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. That's how we're supposed to be when laziness comes into our mind. Like, I don't want to study. I don't want to do that. And what's going to happen if I don't study? If I don't prepare for today? What's going to happen? Because I'm lazy. I don't feel like it. Because I'm in doubt right now, and I don't want to do it. I'm tired. So what's going to happen? Y'all don't get blessed. I don't get blessed. And then condemnation comes upon me because I didn't do what he asked me to do. I didn't talk about what he asked me to talk about. So now, what am I going to do? I'm just going to go stuff my face with comfort food because God's mad at me. But is God really mad at me? No. The enemy gives you condemnation, not God. But a condemnation happens all the time within us, every single day. We walk out of the store eating a donut for free. And it's like, oh my God, I didn't pay for it. Oh God. I'm in trouble. I sinned. I stole something, you know. God's going to get mad at me now. So I can't pray. I can't believe. I can't move forward. Because condemnation is getting after me. The enemy's lying to me, telling me things that God would never tell me. It's always the opposite of what God tells you. Y'all, those of you that don't really read the Word of God, because because sometimes you don't read it because you don't understand, right? I mean, that's how I was. I understand. I'm constantly going, what does this mean? What does this mean? Oh, okay. So you have to read. I always tell my kids, when you're going through something, go into the back of the Bible and look up whatever you're going through, anger, whatever, hurt or sad or whatever the case may be. Just go in the back of the Bible and it's going to show you what scripture to go to. And it's going to give you several scriptures. And you go to each one of those scriptures until you find one that you understand. Okay, because you have to get an understanding. Because why? You will perish. If you don't get an understanding, you're going to perish. I'm telling you right now. You know why I'm telling you that? Because that's what he said. That's what I'm telling you. So I can tell you that. If you don't get an understanding, you will perish. If you don't get an understanding of what God is in your head that's not making you move forward, you're going to stay stagnant. You're not going to move forward. You're not going to cross over. I don't want to be like that. From this day forward, I don't want to be like that. My kids may not know that I'm like that right now because my kids are, you know, anything that comes up, it's funny how we are, right? Anything that comes up, oh, this and this and that, and that. Go to the scripture, and this is what God said. And no, you can't believe like that. And no, you can't be like that, right? But what about you? You can tell somebody, but you can't tell yourself. What's wrong with that? You have to tell yourself just like you're telling other people. You have to believe it for yourself. Why can you believe it for someone else but not yourself? Why are we like that? You could go and preach, quote scriptures and everything, but you can't believe it for yourself. It doesn't work that way. Amen? Are y'all okay? We can't be fearful. Whatever came into your head, no longer in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, whatever God is in your head, In the name of Jesus, it is gone. It is not going to torment you no more. God is going to intervene on your behalf in Jesus' name, and you will not suffer from that thought or issue any longer in the name of Jesus. Every time that you go back and revert back as for, no, I don't feel like doing that, or whatever the issue is that's keeping you saying, no, I'm not going to do that, you have to rebuke it. In the name of Jesus Christ, you have to put oil on your head. We're not telling you this just to tell you. We're telling you that I got to do it for myself. You have to do it. It works. I could honestly say it works. There's many testimonies that people share. Sometimes we don't even know that we're even like that. Until God comes and says, this is the way you are. I love it when he does it because he doesn't let you stay that way. God is a good God. He wants what's best for you. He wants you to go glory to glory and move forward and cross over wherever you're at in your life. You don't have to stay there. Why do we say, oh, well, that's just life. Oh, well, that's just how my family was. Oh, well, that runs in my family. No. No, it doesn't. Not when you're the body of Christ. Not when you said, Lord, you're my Lord and Savior. Let your word be unto me. Change me. You said that when I come to you, God, then I'm a new creature. Everything that your family went through doesn't mean you have to do the same thing. Rise up. Be someone different. Show people the God in your life. Show people that you don't have to be like your whole family. Change it. You don't have to not graduate. You don't have to be jobless. You don't have to be poor. You don't have to be sick. Because Jesus Christ came to save us from captivity. You don't have to go into trouble. You don't have to go to jail. You don't have to get divorced. You don't have to. What you have to do is whatever God that's in your head, whatever issue that's in your head, you need to remove it. And when people speak to you and say, you're nothing but this, you're nothing but that, you're nothing but this, you say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I know who I am, and I know who he said I am. I am a child of God, and I have a purpose, and he's going to guide my footsteps and what the purpose is, and I'm going to fulfill it. Inez Perez cannot say, my will. Not your will, my will. Can't be like that. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says his will, not yours. We got it backwards. Newsflash. We got it backwards. If the Lord tells you to go to a church and you don't like it, too bad. Go ahead and leave. You're going to rob yourself from the blessing that he had for you for going to that church. Let people get in your ears about leaving the church. Let people talk to you about saying, oh, that church is crazy. Let them get in your ear gates. And what's going to happen? Nothing is going to happen for you because you're going to miss out on your blessing because the blessing was here. It wasn't here. He didn't tell you go here. He told you come here. So you could be like Inez Perez and go here. And miss out on everything. Delayed blessings. Delayed blessings. Who wants their blessing? Who wants their blessing? Well, what are you doing about it? What's in your head? Are you robbing yourself from your blessing? Because God wants to give it to you. But you're telling him no. Because what's up here? What's the God in your life? What are you putting before him that's keeping you from moving forward and crossing over? I didn't make the altar call last week. You know why? Because something was up here that was saying, nope, I don't want to. Shame on me. We're supposed to be one. We're supposed to be in agreement. We're supposed to be doing, you know, yeah, bad. Yeah, 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 hallelujah, praise Jesus. Yeah, we're going. No, it wasn't like that at all. I'm not even going to lie to y'all. But you know what? God is good because he's got a purpose. He's got a purpose for him. He has a purpose for me. He has a purpose for us together. And the togetherness, he's going to fulfill his purpose. He is. Whether I'm with him or not, he's going to fulfill it. Because Inez Perez is over here and not right here. That purpose right there will not get fulfilled. Shame on me. Shame on me. And forgive me, Father. But God is good because he rebuked me. Doesn't the Bible say he'll rebuke you? He will spank you in the nalgas to get you back where you need to be. And I praise God for that. That's how much he loves not just Inez Perez or Marty Perez. Guess what? He loves y'all the same way. So come on, we got to get it together. We have to do what he's telling us to do. And you know what? Say it's a drug addiction, okay? Say that's an issue, okay? Well, we can't do it ourselves. We can't. We have to ask him to help us. And y'all are going to freak out. You know why? Because your helper, your deliverer is going to come. And he's going to deliver you and help you. All you have to do is believe. That's it. If you don't want to believe and you think this is a whole bunch of hogwash, then stay in your mess. I'm moving forward. And I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Even if it is to go to Africa and you're listening to the message, Papa, I'm so sorry. I'm real crazy about smell. Crazy. And Pastor Marty and Alan say, it smells really bad. And there's no toilets. What, you want me to go in the ground? And you no toilet paper? I was like, you know, Lord, I think that's for Marty Perez. Inez Perez is right here. But guess what? God said, Inez Perez, Marty Perez, right here. Oh, I'll intercede for him. I'll preach here. I'll be right here. Because you know. You're the one who created me. You know how I am. So what am I going to do? Am I going to go to Africa? But only if he wants me to, because that's a lot. And then the invitation for London came. Where's Inez Perez at now? I'm right here, babe. I'm right here. I'm going with you. No problem. Lord Jesus, let your will be done. Purpose fulfilled in London. As a matter of fact, you know what? We're just going to take Hannah with it. No problem. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But what about the ones that you don't want to do? See the difference? That's messed up. But I'm just being transparent with y'all. I'm just being, you know, transparent with you guys. I freak out on smell and you know, my knee's kind of bad, you know, so how am I going to squat down in a hole to go to the bathroom? I think about those things. See, we talk ourselves out of it. That's our problem. We think too much and we talk ourselves out of it. So, you know, y'all just, you know, I just pray that this has helped you today. And Proverbs 16:9 is about the will. And I think I forgot. I'm going to go to it. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. So now, when Inez Perez says, my will, he's going to take me to Proverbs 16:9. And I think that's a scripture that all of us need to hold on to, because it says, I'm going to read it to you again. The heart of a man's plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. When I read that scripture, I was like, I'm done. I'm doomed. I'm doomed. I'm doomed for Jesus' will. And that's how we should be. So I pray that this blessed you. I mean, I think I pretty much covered all these issues, you know. I think a big one too, and I didn't want to forget it, but it's the soul ties. Unhealthy relationships. Soul ties from the past that can't let you move forward. Do you know there's such a thing? Do you know if you were married and you got divorced, you're so tied to that person until God comes to you, maybe through a person, because not everybody preaches about soul ties. Not everybody tells you about soul ties. And soul ties are very important. If you feel that you can't move forward in a relationship or in church or your life, there's a soul tie that you're intertwined with. And you have to get it off of you. Close your eyes again. Ask the Lord, am I spiritually connected with a soul tie that I shouldn't be? Am I with somebody that I shouldn't be with? Was I with somebody that I just can't move forward? Was I with a ministry that wounded me and I don't want anything to do with church? That's a spiritual soul tie. But a lot of them are natural soul ties. Old girlfriends, one night stands, friends with benefits, however you want to word it. That's a soul tie. And guess what? When you sleep with someone, you slept with everybody that they're sleeping with too. You wondering why your mind is all crazy? Because you get the same thing. You, whoever that woman or man slept with, you have slept with them as well. You are going to get everything that they have. So that's another thing that will not allow you to move forward, whatever the case may be. Okay? So you think about it. Do I have any soul ties? I praise God that we went to a service one time and they talked about soul ties, and I was like, what? And it's a blessing. I'm so, you know, when you come to church, you come to learn. Because what you learn today, he's going to put someone in your life that you have to talk to about whatever you learned today. You could have learned one little thing today. It could be the soul ties, the ending of the service, the soul ties. and you meet someone who's crying and crying and crying and crying, can't move on, and just can't have a successful relationship or whatever the case may be. Then you tell them, hey, have you ever heard of soul ties? Do you know that everybody that you slept with in the past, from when you were a teenager or however old you were when you started it, you got to go way back then. Close your eye. I'm not saying close your eye. Get alone with God. Get your oil, man. Those of you who don't have oil, you need to get oil, okay? We're always constantly having to deliver ourselves. But anyway, you get your oil and you cry out to God. I mean, like, ah! Not like that. I'm just saying, God, I want to move forward and I don't know why I can't. Can you please reveal to me of everybody that I've been with or why I can't move forward in life or why I'm the way I am? Can you reveal it to me? And he's going to, through vision or audibly, he'll talk to you, or you're going to dream, or maybe a phone call will come in from the past and it'll go ping. Because you say, oh, why is that person? I haven't talked to that person in a long time. Why are they hitting me up now? Well, you asked. So get rid of them. It's real. Soul ties are real. And they're no joke. If you're ever wondering why you're the way you are, a lot of times it's because of soul ties. Get rid of it. Be done with it. Unhealthy relationships, get rid of them. You're not going to move forward if you have an unhealthy relationship. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you pray to God. It's going to stay unhealthy if the both of you are not in agreement to work at the relationship or change. You have to have change. Unhealthy relationships are not normal. That's not what God wants for your life. You're to be an example. People should look at you as a couple, if you're married, like, I want a relationship like that. That's how people should be looking at you. If you're all cray cray and you're all in control and you're the boss and this and that and yelling at each other and belittling each other and making you wonder, are you cheating on me? And that is of the enemy. I don't care what you say. You could judge me. You could look at me wrong, because I know what a good, healthy relationship is. And when I see outside of that, I'm like, okay, well, all right. If they come to counseling or whatever, okay. We just listen and try to help them in the areas of whatever it is unhealthy about. They're not good for you, and you will not move forward. I'm just saying. So if that's what came into your head, if that's the God, not the God, like if that's what you're focused on all the time, then you're putting that before God. You're not letting God in your relationship. It's you. You're trying to fix it. You're trying to be in control. You're saying what's going to work and what's not going to work. No, it doesn't work like that. The both of you have to be in agreement, and the both of you have to realize, when one comes up to you and talks to you, well, this is what I don't like about you, you can't be all offended. Well, then we should just break up. No, if you love each other, you should want to please one another. You should never let anyone think, or you should never ever feel like, does he really love me? You should never feel that way. He should always be pouring into you, or she, he or she should be pouring into you and loving you and treating you right, not belittling you and edifying you, speaking the word of God over you, wanting God in your relationship. That's how it should be. That's not a fairy tale. That's how God wants you to be. We have to be examples. We have to be examples. Because if we're not, then what? People lose hope. Like, there's nothing that works. Marriages are horrible. I hear so many people say that they're never getting married because all they do is get divorced and fight and belittle each other, and it just doesn't work. Everybody else in my family is divorced. So why should I even get married? Why even waste my time? Mm-mm. That's the enemy telling you that stuff. That's not real. Marriages are beautiful. And that's how God intended it to be. Beautiful. Relationships, beautiful, that lead to marriage. Put God in your relationship and you see how different it will be. I know the difference of having God in my relationship and not having God in my relationship. That's why I can tell you how great it is to be in a relationship and God in it, in the center of your relationship. I went to a wedding this past week, and it was an eye-opener. And it was my nephew's wedding. It was the most beautiful wedding. But you know what happened? He used to be Inez Perez over here. My will, my will, my will. His name is Will. My will be done, not yours. My will, not yours. But guess what? He started coming to the house of manna. The Lord started dealing with him in certain areas in his life. Then he got to the point that he was ready to what? Crossover. Put everything, the past hurts, everything that was dysfunctional in his life, life-threatening in his life, he decided to walk away from it and to surrender to God's will, not Will's, not his will. So when he did that, he came to us and said, I got to leave. What? Where are you going? You can't leave. Naysayers will keep you from moving forward as well. That's not going to work out there. You're crazy. Mijo, don't go. You know what? Praise God, he didn't listen to any of us. He listened to him. You'll never go wrong following his instructions. He listened to him. He left. He left home. Went to college. And he was a very fearful person. He hated meeting people. He was very shy, very intimidated. But when he decided to leave, he also said, make me how you need me to be. I know I suffer from this, but can you take it away from me? You know what the Lord told him? Every single day, I want you to approach somebody and introduce yourself. Do something that scares you, that you're fearful of. He was like, what? So he did it. He went up to these two guys and said, hi, my name is Will. I live here. Do y'all live here? And they say, yeah. Nice to meet you. How many of us know that God will divinely connect you with people to take you to when you cross over? He has people waiting there that's going to be in your season. Okay? He met those gentlemen, and they were men of God. Got into Bible study right away there, and he was like, oh, my God. Well, that led him to a church. And he was in class and everything, led him to a church where he met his wife. And do you know that whole time they had the same class together? Didn't see one another, didn't notice one another, didn't talk to either one of them. They didn't talk to each other. But then they went to a church thing. And the pastor had asked him to say something. Well, that was a fear. So what did he say? Can you help me, God? I don't know what to say. I'm scared. So the Lord told him, go now. What if he was disobedient? So by him going, his wife that he married this past weekend, that was the reason why. Because when he went up there to say something, she's like, who's that? He's a man of God. Oh, I like what he said. Didn't even realize they were in the same classroom this whole time. But the only reason why she noticed him is because of what he said at the Bible study. And she noticed him. And when they said their vows, it was the most beautiful thing. Because you know what she told them? When I was in middle school, my mother sat me down and she told me to write what I wanted in a man at a young age. And her mother took that list, and her parents, this is what I'm talking about. Those of you that are married and whoever you can come in agreement, if you're not married, come in agreement with your child. Whoever you can come in agreement, because there's power in that. Her parents came in agreement and prayed over that list till the day she got married. And when she wrote those vows and said, everything that was on that list was checked off. You were everything that I had asked God for ever since middle school, and then some. It was such a blessing to me, such a blessing. But that's what I'm telling you, what's taunting your head from moving forward and saying, yes, God, and crossing over, whether it be fear, because he faced his fear. And now he's happily married in the Dominican right now. Most beautiful wedding. So be encouraged. God has a blessing for you on the other side. Amen. Believe that. A milk and honey. Ooh, he got his honey. Yes. Yeah, for whoever that was for, you know, amen. And I have kids, and that's what I'm believing for my kids. And when the parents said that they prayed that until their daughter met her soulmate, her helpmate, I know what me and Marty are going to be doing too. Not by myself. Amen.